Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
So, Father, we open our hearts to hear and receive your word now. Thank you that faith comes from the proclaiming of your word. And thank you that you want faith to arise within us to a new level this morning. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're sitting, there's just one Thanksgiving this morning. Massive thanks to Andy and Urich for helping me out on Wednesday. Bless you guys. So it's good to know that the serving goes on, even though there's so many away at present. Now, we want to do God's work. Is that right? God isn't blessed by doing works of our own, but he is blessed by doing his work. And when he called us and chose us, we saw last week that he really had that plan for our lives. He'd written a script, he'd prepared good things for us to walk in. And Jesus said this, he said, God's work, or the work of God, is to believe in the one he has sent. It's in John 6, verse 29. The work of God, or God's work, is to believe. And we all know that scripture, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because without faith, you can't do God's work. That everything in your life that is the work of God comes from faith. Now, everything about God is positive. Everything he does in your life is positive. He has never done anything negative to you or for you. All the negatives come from the world, your own flesh, and the devil. And on the cross, Jesus overcame all the negatives. Every blessing he has poured into your life has had a positive effect, because to bless is literally to make happy in the sense of bringing fulfillment, completion. So every time God blesses you, it is for your good. Even if there are times when God has needed to discipline you, that's always been in love and for your good, so it has a positive effect upon your life. He has given you his spirit. That's positive. He's given you a new birth. That's positive. He's given you the life of the kingdom. That's positive. He has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's positive. He's given you the fullness of life. That's positive. And you see, all these positives are actually within us. Which is why Paul says the secret of the Christian life is this: Christ in you. And everything about him is positive. Now, that would be very simple if it wasn't for the fact that we live in a negative world. There is so much negativity in the world. So much, actually, that is opposed to the purposes of God. So much that is opposed to the outworking of faith. So we have to live the positive life of Christ in us in the midst of the negative world. Jesus said that in your flesh, that is in your self-life, apart from God, in your self-life, there is nothing good. Why? Because everything about God is positive, but everything about your flesh is negative. Now, your flesh has all kinds of desires, but every one of those desires does you harm. Whereas when our hearts are really captivated by Jesus, One of the deep things that he does in our lives is to change the desires of our hearts so that our desires line up with his desires, because every one of those desires will do us good. Let me just give you an example of what I mean. Jesus says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, anxiety doesn't come from God. Anxiety does not come from the Spirit of God. God has not given you the kingdom of anxiety to live within you. So anxiety is the very opposite of the purposes of God, because when we are anxious, there is no trust in God. You can't trust God and be anxious. Any believers here this morning? I mean, if you trust God, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. It doesn't matter what difficult situation you're in, the trust overcomes any natural anxiety that there would be. So Jesus says, never be anxious. Why? Because anxiety causes depression. Where does depression come from? Being constantly anxious over a period of time. Constantly negative. So you get to the point where you cannot be positive. Nothing is more wretched than to be depressed. Why? Because you lose all sight of the positive. You feel you can't be positive. That's why I love it when God just sets people free from depression. He's going to set some people free from that. Probably one or two visitors here with depression, where you're going to go away without your depression. Because God does not want our lives full of anxiety and depression. But anxiety also affects the body. The doctors tell us that at least 70%, some say as much as 90%, of physical sickness is psychosomatic. It begins in the mind. So the anxiety, the tension and so on, you know, that all affects the glandular system and everything else. But it affects your body. The scripture says it even affects your bones. You don't want anxiety in your bones. You don't want anxiety anywhere. So we focus on the Lord. You see, what the flesh does is to focus on self and self-desires. And Jesus says, there's nothing good in your flesh. There's nothing good in those desires that are just focused on pleasing self. But the work of God is to believe in him. That takes us outside of anxiety and gets us looking out at others with compassion and mercy and love and care and concern. And that does you good. When you're focused on yourself, you're doing damage to yourself. When you're focused on the Lord, he gets you to look out. And that's for your well-being as well as for the well-being of others. So in everything that God has designed for us, in the scripture he has written for our lives, his desire is for us to live constantly in the positive that will do us good. Well, 10 minutes ago, there were a few believers. Are there any left? Yes. Okay. Praise God. So he wants us to have victory over the negative. Now, God is the Lord of our lives, is he not? He is the sovereign king. But what he will never do is to take away from us the ability to make our own decisions. You see, when you are bringing up children, as many of you have, you are training them to be responsible. When they're very small and they don't have any developed sense of responsibility, you have to make a whole lot of decisions for them. They're incapable of making them for themselves. But in the way in which you're bringing them up, it's to teach them how to be responsible in the decisions that they make, so that they always act in a wise way, in a good way, not in foolishness, because foolishness is always going to do them harm. So there's that training that has to go on. Now, God does a similar thing in the lives of his children. When we're born again, we are born again. We're little children. We're children of God, but we have to learn. He teaches us. He, if you will, disciples us. He causes us to grow up to be responsible in making the right and good decisions. Now, he is teaching us, in other words, to do the work of God. He's teaching us to believe and to love, but I'm focusing on the believing for the moment. These are the two things that really Jesus says that his disciples have to do, to believe and to love. But the love comes out of the believing. So right at the heart of our relationship with God is our faith. We didn't have a relationship until we came to faith. But from that moment, we've had a relationship with God, and he's teaching us and training us to make the right decisions. Now, the right decisions are always positive. And will have a positive effect. If we make a decision for the flesh, that's negative, and it will have a negative effect on us and on others around us. But if we are obedient to the Spirit, and he is the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth of God's word, if we make decisions according to God's word, that will do us good and it will do others good. And actually, it will do the Lord good. It will glorify him. Are we there? So we are called upon to make the right decisions. Now, we all know that wonderful chapter 15 of John's Gospel where Jesus describes himself as the true vine. And those who belong to him, those who put their faith in Jesus, those who are born again, those who are called to be disciples, are branches in this vine. You all remember that, don't you? Now, the interesting thing is that the first thing that Jesus says about this vine is the Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who cuts out of this vine the unfruitful. Now, what a place to start. Jesus is about to give the disciples what I believe was the climax revelation that he gave during the whole of his teaching and all his relationship with him, where he was going to say to them this revolutionary statement. You must understand that at the time when Jesus first made it, it was totally revolutionary when he said, "Live in me and I in you." Nobody had ever talked about someone living in someone else before, or that person being able to live in them. And all the time that he had been with them, they had grown to experience Jesus with them, but the talk of being in him and he in them was totally radical, totally new. It was going to lead to an entirely different dimension of relationship with him. And Jesus was going to make that clear and all the blessings that were going to flow from that. So he says, now the Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. He's the one, in other words, that determines who is going to be grafted into this true vine of Jesus, who is going to become a branch. You weren't born as a branch, but you got grafted in when you were born again. Yes? Paul makes that quite clear in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that you were included in Christ when you heard the gospel of salvation and believed. At that moment, you were grafted into Christ. At that moment, you were grafted into the true vine of Jesus. So that's wonderful news. You know, here is this true vine. But before we get to the grafting in, Jesus talked about the cutting out. Now that seems a bit strange, doesn't it? But what did he say about those that are cut out? He said the fruitless branches he cuts out. Are you listening? Yes. He did not say the sinless branches. He said the fruitless branches. Now, because God is holy and Jesus is holy, perhaps you would think, well, he would have said the Father cuts out the sinful branches. But if he cut out the sinful branches, there wouldn't be any branches left. Because I've never met a branch of the vine that does not sin sometimes. Even if not deliberately, sometimes inadvertently. We all have times when we fail to trust God. When we become anxious. Because we're not trusting Him. We all have those times when we put the focus on ourselves and not on Him and on others. And therefore, even if it's only momentarily, we walk in the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Now, all that is sin. But the Father does not cut out of the vine sinful branches. Why? Because what God is concerned about is the fruit that comes out of our lives. Now, sin can only bear bad fruit. It never produces good fruit. You see, if you think of a farmer looking after his vines or even a fruit tree, what does he do? If there's some rotten fruit, he picks out the rotten fruit for the benefit of the rest of the fruit on the tree. If there's a diseased branch, he will cut that branch out so the disease can't spread to other branches. Now, Jesus says the Father does this. But what he's looking for is fruit. He's not a God who's sort of peering into our lives all the time, trying to search out sin. Some of you might have been brought up with a concept of God like that, you know, where all the time he's wanted to beat you and scold you, and every time you go to church you're made to feel you're a sinner. Whereas here we teach you to be saints. Because you are saints. But you're saints who can sin. Which seems a bit of a contradiction in terms, but nevertheless, that's the reality. Now, of course, God wants sin to be cut out of our lives. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But He isn't the one who cuts the sin out of your life. You're the one that does that. Hello? You see, sin is the result of making wrong decisions. Yes? Sin is a result of deciding to please yourself rather than the Lord, to obey what you want rather than what He wants, to be selfish rather than to give and to be loving and encouraging and so on. Are you breathing? So, He doesn't cut the sin out of your life. You cut the sin out of your life. Now, of course, by cutting the sin out of your life, that will enable you to be more fruitful. Because if you're not focusing on sin, you're focusing on what is good. You're focusing on what is of the Spirit rather than what is of the flesh. So that will have a positive effect upon what is produced. And what the Lord is looking for is what is produced. Now, of course, if a branch gets into sin in such a way that the fruit-bearing process is going to be hindered, then God is going to take some radical, He's going to do some radical things to warn that branch, isn't He? Hello? But He doesn't cut the branch out because it sins. He cuts the branch out because it's fruitless. Now, you live in Christ and He lives in you. If you're born again, yes, if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, you live in Christ, Christ lives in you, and God's purpose is for you to be fruitful. So, you are fruitful whenever you operate in faith. Because you're fruitful when you do the work of God. And the work of God is to what? Believe. You are fruitful when you love. Because Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, you are to love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. So every time we do what the Word is telling us to do, not legalistically, but out of our hearts of love for Jesus and for others, then we're going to be fruitful. Amen. Now, sometimes we're conscious of being fruitful, but a lot of the times we're probably bearing fruit without even realizing it, simply because of the positive way in which the life and the love and the power and the victory of Jesus is being expressed through our lives. Now, in saying that God wants us to cut the sin out, that's another way of saying He wants us to cut the negative out. Now, He is the one who forgives the sin, isn't He? But He doesn't forgive the sin till we repent of the sin. And repenting of the sin is not being sorry for the sin, it's turning away from the sin. Because, you know, we can be sorry about it and ask for forgiveness, but still go on doing it. But when we repent, we turn away. We make a decision to cut that area of sinfulness or of self-indulgence or whatever it might be out of our lives. Now, because He looks upon the heart and not the outward appearance, the Lord knows every time we make such a decision. He discerns the motives of us. So when He sees that we make a heart decision to turn away from something, He is there with all His mercy and grace to enable us. Why? Because we're wanting to do the work of God. And He has given us His Spirit and put His kingdom within us to enable us to do the work of God. Is all this clear? So in saying that God wants us to cut the sin out, is also to say, therefore, I want to cut every negative out. You see, God promised that under the new covenant, we would be given new hearts and he would put a new spirit within us. So when you were born again, God gave you a new heart. Now, your old heart was negative, which is why you needed a new heart. The old heart was obsessed with self in many ways. But when God gave you a new heart, it was a heart after his heart. He didn't give you a negative heart. He didn't give you a partially positive heart. He didn't give you a partially pure heart. He gave you a new, pure, positive heart. Now, it's possible for that new heart to become contaminated by the negative if we allow the negatives into our lives. Paul is clear about that. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, he says, "Let us cleanse ourselves of everything that contaminates spirit and body." Heart and body. Let us free ourselves. You see, because we are given the responsibility to make the right decisions, to live in the positive and not the negative, to make the decisions to banish from our life everything that is negative. Now, some of you may be thinking, I've tried it and it doesn't work. So I'm going to tell you why it didn't work and how what you're going to do this morning and for the rest of your life will always work. Oh, you obviously don't want to know. You see, if it was just a question of God telling us what is right and what is wrong, what is positive and what is negative, that wouldn't be much better than the old covenant, would it? Because he does that in the Old Testament. Well, this is right, that is wrong, this is sin, that pleases me, this is unholy, this is holy, this is good, that's not good. I mean, the Old Testament is full of all of that. But Jesus came to make it possible for us to live in all that is perfect. Didn't he say, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect"? Now, he didn't say that to make us feel bad because we know we're not. But he said that because what he wanted us to understand is that what he was going to do for us would actually deal with every negative in our lives. But those negatives can only be dealt with by faith. Hello? Now, what do I mean by that? Jesus said that he gave us authority. He gave us authority over all the powers of the evil one. Now, if everything that God does in our lives is positive, where does the negative come from? If it doesn't come from God, it either comes from our own flesh or from the world or from the enemy, from the devil. He is at work in the world, which is why there's so much negativity in the world. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. He was Lord of our flesh before Jesus became Lord of our life. And so he always wants to stir the flesh up. He wants us to be worldly and to long for the things of the world. He wants to deceive us because he's the deceiver of the brethren, the scripture says. He wants to deceive us so that we will not walk in the truth and be victorious. Because he knows when we walk in the truth, we're victorious over him and we're victorious over all the negatives that he inspires in the world and tries to stir up in our flesh. Now, the scripture says, it's very clear, that it's not the responsibility of the pastor to deal with the devil for you. Hallelujah. That you see, you have to be responsible. So, the Word of God says to every believer, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, how do you resist? Well, one way you resist is to take the shield of faith. See, it can only be done with faith. Take the shield of faith so that every time a fiery dart comes out. Now, what is a fiery dart? Anything that is negative. Because everything God has given you is positive. So every time a fiery dart is fired at you, you take the shield of faith, and that faith is able to repel the dart. It just bounces off the shield. You believe it, Lord, and I believe it. Amen? But if you have a shield and you don't put it in place, what happens? You're quick. And you see, there are so many Christians that get hit by something negative and then they blame God. Oh, Lord, why did you let it happen? Where was your shield of faith? I've taught you to be responsible. Put the shield of faith in place. So God has given you the shield of faith. That means that he is your protection. You see, when you put the shield of faith in place, what happens is the fiery dart comes not up against you, but against Jesus. Jesus becomes your shield. He is your shield and your defense, it says in the Psalms. He is a protection. He is a wall of protection all around you. This isn't a shield that just, you know, is like a little Roman shield. It's a shield all around you. That's the shield of faith. Covers your back as well as your front. Covers your head as well as your feet. But it's a shield of faith. It's not a tiddly-widdly little human shield. Now, he's also, you see, given us authority over all the powers of the evil one. So, as a believer, he's given you the shield of faith, but he's also given you authority over every negative that comes against you. And everything that causes that negative. But what I've found in long experience in ministry is there are so many Christians that pray about their problems and wonder why God doesn't answer their problems, when all the time they never exercise the authority that God has given them to dismiss the negative from their lives. Now, how do you exercise authority? By issuing commands. You can have all the authority under the sun, but you never exercise it, you never use it, until you issue a command. Not an invitation, but a command. If you notice in the Gospels, you will never find that Jesus asks anybody to do anything. He always commands them. Even when he's healing, he commands, get up and walk. Take your bed and go home. Be opened. They're all commands. When he's telling the disciples to do something, he says, go into the city. There you will find a donkey tied, untied. If anybody says to you, tell them this. They're all commands. Because he is Lord. And when you, and to say that he's Lord, it means that he's the ultimate authority. So when you exercise authority, you give commands. You don't say, devil, I would like you to leave me alone. Devil, don't you understand that what is happening in my life is really upsetting me? Will you please take that demon that's oppressing me away? See, there's no authority in that. Neither is there any faith in saying, oh, Lord, I'm being so oppressed. Will you please take all this oppression away? There's no faith in that. Because Jesus has said, I've given you the authority to dismiss that oppression from your life. What are you doing? Allowing it. What are you doing even praying about it? Get rid of it. Now, Jesus talked about all these negative things as being mountains. He didn't mean you're to stand at the foot of Everest and to see if you can move it. What to Jesus is a mountain is something there in your experience that shouldn't be there. That God doesn't want there. That he never planned to be there. That it's not part of his script or his plan and purpose for your life. So in Mark 11, we have what is called the prayer of faith. When Jesus said to the disciples, you know, teach us to pray. And the first thing that Jesus said was, have faith in God. Now, you see, Jesus also said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So where your faith is determined by what you speak about. If you speak about the problem, if you speak about the mountain, that's where your faith is. Your faith is in having the problem. Hello? And you want to tell everybody about the problem. How are you? Oh, well, and out it all comes. That's your faith. Negative. Oh, well, I'm being real. No, you're not. You're being stupid. You really are doing yourself damage. Because instead of talking about the answer, you're talking about the mountain. You see, if there's a mountain I'm getting rid of and somebody says in my life, says to me, how are you? I say, I'm overcoming. I won't talk about the problem. I say, well, I'm overcoming. I'm living in victory. Because sometimes these mountains get moved immediately. Sometimes we have to persevere in our faith and then they're removed. Jesus teaches both. He doesn't say that every answer to prayer will be instantaneous. He teaches about the perseverance of faith. But faith always overcomes. Faith has the victory. This is why Paul says that God always, say always, always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ. And he doesn't say that if we exercise faith, some of the mountains will be removed. Now, he says you have to speak to the mountain. Now, when you speak, you don't think. You speak. Speak means doing what I'm doing now. Now, you learned to do that when you were quite small. And you are capable of doing it still. You can speak. But you don't think about the mountain. You don't pray about the mountain. Jesus says you speak to the mountain. You speak to that negative thing that God never intended for you. And he doesn't want you to be stuck with it. But Jesus says something of crucial importance. When you speak to the mountain, you must, he says, you must believe in your heart that it will be moved. Now you see, that is exercising authority. If an army officer gives a command, he expects to be obeyed. And if he is not obeyed, whoever is disobedient and insubordinate is in for trouble. Now God wants you to realize that he's given you such authority over the enemy and over against all the works of the enemy that everything you command must be obeyed. So it's not a question of saying, oh, well, I'll talk to this mountain and see how I get on. Sickness, leave me in the name of Jesus. Didn't think it would work. I've tried it before. You see, there's no faith in that. Jesus was not teaching a method. He was teaching us about a life of faith and dependence upon him. You're saying now, in the world, you will have tribulation. What's tribulation? Great trouble. So he promised you that you would have great trouble. He didn't say he was going to cause it. He didn't say he was going to give it to you, but he did say you were going to have it. Because anybody that preaches the gospel in the world, the gospel is positive, the world is negative, is going to have great trouble. There's going to be opposition from the world. There's going to be opposition from the devil. There's going to be opposition from your own flesh. There's going to be opposition from other people. There's always going to be opposition. There's going to be persecution. If they hated me, they will hate you. So in the world, there's going to be tribulation. But that's nothing compared to the glory that is ours eternally, you see. So, you know, a few years of tribulation, we can live through that because we've got an eternity of glory. But what Jesus is saying is, I give you authority to overcome in the midst of all the tribulation. Yeah, you'll have it. You'll have the trouble. You'll have all this opposition. These things will come against you. But I'm giving you authority to overcome whatever comes against you. Now, in the scriptures, we have examples of people being delivered from demonic powers that were ruling their lives. But never, nowhere in the whole of the New Testament is there any evidence of a believer being delivered from a demonic spirit. You see, if the enemy is oppressing you, you are the one that has to overcome. You are the one that has to exercise authority. Now, others can stand with you. But if you're a believer, they can agree with you. But they can't do the job for you. I've met Christians that have had problems. They've gone to somebody that somebody's prayed a prayer of authority over them. They've been released, and then the problem has come back again. And they say, why did the problem come back again? And I say, because you didn't exercise authority yourself. So the enemy knew you were an easy touch. Okay, he had to obey the command of the one who prayed for you, but he knew that he could keep coming back again and again against you until you learn to exercise authority over him for yourself. Now, beloved, are you still there? Okay. I'm having a good time up here. I don't know what you're doing, but because I'm speaking faith all the time, you see. And when you speak faith, it does you good. So if it's not doing you any good, it's doing me a lot of good. So you see, this is the whole point. You speak faith. You speak faith. You don't speak negative. You don't speak anxiety. You don't speak fear. You speak faith. You speak with authority over the enemy. Now, you're not overcoming people. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and powers of darkness in this world and in the spiritual world. So we take authority over all the works of the enemy, not over people. I mean, I know sometimes you feel like taking authority over people, but but you can take authority over the negative things that are coming from people. So those negative things do not afflict you and affect you. Are you there?
Yes.
You know, often I've been in situations where I've been asked to go and pray for sick people, and they've got infectious diseases of one kind or another. And, you know, people said, oh, you must be careful you don't catch it. I said, no, I can't catch it. See, why can't I catch it? Because I believe I will not catch it if I go into a situation with the power of God. Whatever is happening there is not going to come against me. Now, that isn't an invitation to be foolish. I'm just saying that when you're operating by faith, you're operating with that shield of God's protection. But it doesn't mean you do crazy things and put yourself in the way of harm and danger. But it does mean that when you are doing something in the name of the Lord, you do not have to be afraid. Because God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It doesn't mean that if we get in sickness, we don't accept help from the medical fraternity or anything like that. But it means that in whatever situation we're in, we expect faith to be operating. We expect that supernatural element to be at work, even if we're accepting medical treatment of some kind. But often that isn't going to be needed when, although I often say that doctors keep people alive until God heals them. It's not a competition. It's a question of seeing that the purpose is to see people set free. Not only from sickness, but from all kinds of other things too. But we need to exercise authority. It isn't just a question of saying, oh Lord, heal me, oh Lord, heal me. You take authority over the disease that is coming against you. Sometimes you know, just in doing that, you get one of these instantaneous healings. Sometimes when I was very ill a few years ago, as you know, I had to, it was a question of months. But praise God, day by day, day by day, day by day, as you kept that authority going, persevering in faith, you get the victory. And there have been others in the body here that have had similar testimonies, how over a period of time, as you keep persevering in faith, you have the victory. The important thing is that persevering in faith means you do not give way to the negative. And you do not allow the negative into your thinking. You see, look, negative heart, negative thoughts, negative words, negative result. Positive heart, because it's a heart of faith. Positive heart, positive thoughts, positive words, positive result. I mean, look, I'm putting it as simply as I can for you. It's not... You do not need a doctorate in speculative theology to understand what I'm saying. In fact, none of you would want a doctorate in speculative theology, come to think of it. It's all very simple. But the gospel is made for simple people. That's why he chose you. That's why he chose me. I'm a simple guy. I'm not a complicated guy. You know, all through my life I thought, well, if I can understand it, anybody can understand it. If it can happen in my life, it can happen in anybody's life. Isn't that true? It's all dependent upon him, not dependent on who we are, dependent on who he is. So praise God. Now, this is the beginning of a new chapter in your life. Some wonderful things are going to happen before the end of this meeting. But even more wonderful things are going to happen after this meeting. And they're going to go on happening in your life for the rest of your life. So long as you get the message and act upon it. But you decide to cut the negative out. You decide to take authority over every negative, even over the negative thoughts. See, this is so often why the enemy trips us up. He just sows a negative thought. You know, you can be walking along, you can have a negative thought. Now, if you don't take the shield of faith immediately, the negative thought will take root. And the enemy will think, oh, that's good, here, have another one. And another one. And another one. And before you know where you are, you've got a whole negative mindset in some area of your life. So as soon as the negative thought comes, take the shield of faith. Now, when you start to do this, it seems you're taking the shield of faith every few minutes. Well, that's all right. You need to do that. The enemy will get the message after a while that it's not going to work on you now in the same way that it worked on you in the past. That you mean business. That he's not going to dupe you. He's not going to manipulate you. He's not going to be able to deceive you. He's not going to be able to sow the negative things in your heart and life in the way that he was able in the past. It's very good. Because it's the truth. And it's going to have very good results. You see, I'm a results guy. Why? Because Jesus looks for the fruit. And what is the fruit? The fruit is the results. He says, yeah, I know there'll be sin. I know there'll be times that sometimes you'll be negative. Sometimes you will fail. Sometimes you'll feed the flesh instead of the spirit. But I don't cut you out for that. I prune you. But I don't cut you out. I help you to prune all the negatives out, but I don't cut you out. I'm looking for the fruit. Now, I want as few negatives as possible, because the more positive you are, the more fruit there will be. Are we getting it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you are not a little two-year-old. You are a responsible adult. And you're going to live in a responsible way, not a foolish way. Amen? You're going to keep that shield of faith in place, and you're going to exercise authority over every negative that comes against you. Okay, last thing. I said that when you exercise that authority, you issue commands. And the secret to that is that you expect to be obeyed. It's not a question of shouting. You know, it's not the louder you come against the enemy, the more frightened he will be. You see, he's not frightened by noise, but he's got no answer to authority because he's lawless. He's got no answer to the authority of Jesus. And you see, it's the authority he has given you. Jesus says, I have given you authority. Now, wouldn't it be the height of foolishness to be given authority by Jesus and not to use it? When he knows that you need that authority to overcome all the negatives that will come against you in your thoughts, in your activities, sometimes in sickness, sometimes in other kinds of affliction, if you don't exercise that authority, how can God's best purpose for your life be fulfilled? So, Jesus doesn't say, you have to move the mountain. He says, you speak to it, and you believe in your heart that it will be moved, and then he promises, and it will be moved. Somehow, that authority is so powerful that every time you exercise it, you get the result. Now, if there was more time, we could go on to talk about other kinds of prayer, where Jesus says that whatever you ask in his name, he will give it to you. See, when you ask with his name, in his name, you ask with that kind of faith that comes from him. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, all the time I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has been sowing seed in your heart. For this last half an hour or so, the Holy Spirit has been sowing one seed of truth after another into your heart. Not into your mind, not into your intellect, into your heart. Because that's where God always aims, at the heart. Now, what you do with that, of course, is your responsibility. But he's been sowing, because he is the author and perfecter of your faith. He's been perfecting your faith this morning. He's been sowing seeds of truth, seeds of faith into your heart. Now, when you act upon that faith, when you put it into practice, the seed grows and develops and becomes the sort of full-blown plant that God wants in your life. It will bear fruit for you as a branch of the vine. So God is quite clear in his word that when he speaks by his Spirit, he sows the word into your heart. Now, the Holy Spirit's done that, right? And he is the Spirit of faith. He's not only the Spirit of truth, he is the Spirit of faith. Sometimes, when we pray, we can be a bit tentative, can't we? You know what I mean? You're not quite sure how to pray or what to pray or what is going to happen in the prayer. That's not really the way God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray with much more faith and conviction and revelation than that. But sometimes, you know, we are rather tentative. But when you exercise authority, you can't afford to be tentative. You have to speak with authority. You have to speak expecting to be obeyed. Now, God has put all that in you. It's in you now. And the revelation of it is in you now. So, all that's got to happen now is for you to begin to exercise that authority. For your own life, for the circumstances in which you find yourself. So we're going to exercise it now over any negatives that are afflicting us now. People with anxiety are going to be set free from anxiety. People with depression are going to be set free from depression. Things like that are going to happen because God's been speaking to us about that. Some sicknesses are going to go immediately. God is going to put in some of you that need to persevere. Because sometimes, you know, the healing or the resolution of another kind of problem takes place over a period of time because God wants to build into us this perseverance of faith and this determination to see our authority prevail. So it's not just a question of, well, I'll try it and see if it works, and if it doesn't work, then I won't bother. No, no, no. Sometimes things are resolved immediately. Other times, God deliberately wants to build up that perseverance. Hallelujah. So you're going to be helped because, you know, you've got me praying for you. There are other believers around you that will be praying with you. There's a sort of a corporate level of faith here. And when there's a corporate level of faith, all kinds of things can happen. But what God wants is for you to go away from here and to understand that wherever you go as an individual, as a believer, you have the same authority. You have the same power available to you. You have the same shield of faith. The same Lord who is with you and is within you. The same word, the same spirit of faith. And what God is doing, I know, because he told me this is what he's going to do. So what he's going to do is lift a whole lot of people into an entirely new level of faith as a result of this one message this morning. Simply because you're going to go away and exercise authority in your life. And the devil isn't very happy about it. Hallelujah. But he is a nasty bit of work, and it's time that he was put in his place. Amen. Come on, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Now you see, it's not the message that does it, it's the Lord. The Lord has been sowing seeds of faith in your heart. I just want you to just open your heart to the Lord now and thank him for the truth. Thank him for the seed of his word. Hallelujah. Thank him that he's been sowing his words of truth into your heart this morning. Does that every time you read your Bible, you understand. But he's been doing it through the word, through the preaching this morning. He's been sowing seeds of faith into your heart. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that those seeds of faith in your heart are going to influence your thinking. Just say, Lord, I thank you that you are going to release in my life new faith mindsets as a result of the revelation of your word that I receive into my heart and life this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Poparazatari eletu bakarazitri satu. Bratapari eletu bakarazitri satari eletu bakarazitaba. Oh, hallelujah. Now thank him that he's given you the shield of faith. Because he's sown that faith into your heart, that faith is as a shield. And thank him that you can put that shield of faith in place in your life and all the fiery darts of the evil one will be repelled. They will be extinguished. None of those arrows will get through to you. Hallelujah. Kurata parazatoba. Now thank him that he has given you authority. It says it in his word, I have given you authority over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will harm you. All things will come against you, but you're going to have the victory. Nothing will harm you. Come on, let's believe what Jesus says this morning. Hallelujah. Satabarazatabakarazita. Now thank him that you're a branch in the vine, the true vine of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your Lord. Karazataba karazita balatuba. Balandari aleduba karazitaba. You know, God has given you the ability to reason. The only reasonable thing to do is to trust Jesus. It's totally unreasonable not to trust the Son of God. Hallelujah. So your mind is set upon pleasing the Lord, yes? Hallelujah. Now, He doesn't cut the sin out, you do. So I want you to pray now, just for a couple of minutes, and I want you to cut out all the negatives. How do you do that? You bring them to Jesus, and you ask Him to forgive you, and you make this decision. You repent of these negatives. Say, I'm making the decision to turn away from these negatives and not have anything more to do with them. So just ask Him right now to forgive any negatives, any negative way of thinking, any ways in which your focus has been on yourself and your needs and your problems and your feelings and your fears and your doubts. All that is sin. Let's get rid of it. Let's get it out of our lives this morning. So just ask the Lord that by the power of His blood, He will cleanse your heart from every negative and will create in you a pure heart and put a right spirit within you. A right spirit is a spirit of faith, isn't it? Spirit that trusts in Jesus. Put a right spirit within me, Lord. Just cleanse my heart by the power of your blood from all these negatives. I make the decision this morning to turn away from all these negatives. I'm not going to entertain them anymore. I'm not going to give them house room. My mind is not a plaything of the enemy. My mind, I surrender to you. I want my mind to be renewed so that I know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, in particular, just repent of any anxious and negative thoughts. Especially if you're one of those people, you know, that has actually become quite negative in the way in which you think and react to situations. Just understand that God does not want you to live another day of your life like that. Not one more day. He didn't make you to be an anxious person. He made you to be a child of faith. Now you might be faced with an insurmountable problem as it appears to you, but let me tell you, being anxious about that will not help one scrap. In fact, it will have a negative thing. It will add to the problem. So just thank the Lord that it doesn't matter what you're facing now, He is with you, He is within you, He is the truth. He is leading you in His triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. He has given you authority, which will enable you to prevail, which will enable you to overcome, which will enable you to be victorious right in the face of all those odds. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be someone who is, you say, oh, I find it so difficult to be positive because I'm surrounded by so many negative people, perhaps at work or perhaps in the neighbors or wherever. Well, you are going to stand out like light in the midst of darkness then. You're going to spread light around you. You're not going to join in the darkness just to make it, you know, look as if you're chummy with those who are living in darkness. No, you are going to shine like light. Amen. Hallelujah. The truth of God pouring out of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Have you got rid of all these negatives? Are they all under the blood? Come on, just thank the Lord for His mercy then. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for the cleansing power of your blood. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Now, it's going to be noisy in here for the next few minutes. I'm sorry about that, but there's nothing we can do about it. Those of you who don't like noise, it's going to be noisy because every one of us is going to speak with authority. Now, I've said that doesn't mean you shout, but we're all going to speak with authority. That means we're going to speak expecting to be obeyed. Nobody's going to be listening to what you say because they're all too busy speaking for themselves. But we're now going to tell the mountains to move. Amen. We are now going to take authority over the one who has caused the mountains. Now, that may have been something directly that has come against you. It may be that he's used other people to come against you, because he can do that. He can even use other Christians, actually. The enemy can even use other Christians to come against you. But you're not praying against the other Christians. You're praying against the negative spirits that have been operating through them. Right? The negative things that have been coming at you because they have not been walking in the positive. Can you see how this can have a knock-on effect, even amongst a body of believers? So right now, you take authority in the name of Jesus. Now, you're going to speak and expect to be obeyed. Remember that. You've got to do it. Go on. Don't leave me to do it for you. You do it. If it's sickness that's got to be moved, you tell the jolly sickness to get lost. Come on, that cancer, get out of my body in the name of Jesus. Or whatever it may be. No cancerous cell shall continue to live in my body in the name of Jesus. Come on, get some determination in what you're saying. Some real faith in what you're saying. Because that's what you believe. Oh, come on, you do this in English. You don't command the Lord the enemy in tongues, because when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. But you're not speaking to God now. You're speaking to the mountains. You're telling the enemy where to go. You're binding him. You're restricting him. You're not allowing him that same freedom of movement in your life that he's had in the past. He is being expelled now. He's being dismissed. Come on, you can dismiss the enemy. Just get out. You're not having that influence anymore over my life. Those negative spirits are not going to influence me anymore. That negative line of thinking is not going to persist in my life. In the name of Jesus. That spirit of anxiety, that spirit of fear is overcome in the name of Jesus. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, no, there's more to do, isn't there? Just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the victory. Thank you, Lord, that you give me victory, because your authority in me has the power to overcome. Now, you see, there's no time for me to preach another sermon on this, but when you exercise authority, the power of God is released. That's why the mountain gets moved. So thank God for the release of power into those circumstances in your life. Thank him that every time you exercise authority, there will be release of his power. There will be a release of his power in your life. There will be release of power in the way, in the lives of those you pray for. Even when you're praying for people, even when you're praying for the sick, you know, don't just pray for them to be healed. Speak with authority over their lives. I've got a list of sick people I pray for every day, and I speak with authority. I speak the word of God with authority over their lives. Come on, come on, come on. We're going to exercise this authority God has given us. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that whenever we exercise that authority, your power is released in our lives, in the lives of those for whom we pray for. Your power is released into our circumstances. Things will change as a result, and we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you, Lord, that we believe in our hearts that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Horatapaya. He is our victory. You have given us the victory. Your word says you have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you that we're a victorious people, and that as we exercise authority, so we actually plant your victory into one situation after another. It's your victory, not ours. And we give you the glory for it, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you believe you've got the victory? Come on. Come on. Let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.